Hello. This is my first show on this station, so I'd like to introduce myself so you know who I am, how I got here, what I do. My name's Alan Lesauer. You can Google me. There's a lot of information about what I've done in the past, and it's all good, thankfully. But how did I get here and why did I choose to do this type of work? So the type of thing we do at Financial Sanity, that's the name of the company, Financial Sanity, is work with people to feel better about who they are financially. There's a saying, well, actually it's a statistic that one of most, let's put it like this, most bankruptcies end in divorce. They don't have to, but there's so much stress in bankruptcy that they go into a divorce. But there's also so much stress in credit card debt, in general debt, in, people are overwhelmed. And I think today, with the current economic climate, with what just happened today, I'm sure some of you are reading this news, the tariffs, people expect prices to go up again. Most of the consumers I speak to are stressed out, and rightly so. I mean, things are a lot more expensive. So at this point, statistically, there is $1.7 trillion in credit card debt. There's another $1.6 trillion in student loan debt. There's business debt, there's credit line debt, there's, I mean, we're looking at a lot of personal debt, okay, and small business debt. So how did I get involved in this? Okay, I have credentials, so you can look those up. There's some from NYU, there's even some from Harvard, and I think they're not as important as my personal experience. My experience has been in finance and real estate. So the credentials got me that far. But what happened in 2006 and 2007, 2008, 2009 is what brought me to today. What happened was I was hit by a car and I had a near-death experience. Some people call it a death experience. I don't know. I didn't see angels floating around and, go through, my whole, video of my life at the time. But I was unconscious. And when I woke up, my legs were badly beaten. One of them was broken in half. So for 2 years, I had to sit in a wheelchair. What else happened during those 2 years? If everyone remembers the housing crisis, that's when housing prices crashed so badly because anyone with a pulse could have gotten a loan. Most of us remember that time. And so what I did was I used my experience to help people save their homes. I figured out how to work with the banks. During that time, Financial Sanity saved over 2,000 homes. And some of the letters I got are so heartwarming. Another show, I'll show them. Thank you for saving our house. But, it's my pleasure to help people. Every house I saved, every person who could stay in their home was important to me. I'll go back to the experience. Some people are interested in the near-death experience. What does it do to you? What it does is it makes you appreciate life more. So many of us go through life, think, go the day to day, the drugs, this, or that, a coffee, this, take the kids to school. Okay, when you're sick and you can't walk and you go through seven operations and you finally have the ability to go get on crutches and make your first cup of coffee, that is a time you appreciate the simple fact of being able to make a cup of coffee. Up until then, I'm sure we all go, oh, I don't want to make the coffee, or well, you got to just press a button usually. But innately, a lot of people are lazy, and I will say more about that later. So anyway, I digress, and I might do that during this show, because it's a flow of information. So here I am, near-death experience in a wheelchair. What do I do? And I start working on possibility. A friend calls me up. He says, "You know something about real estate? Can you save my house?" I don't know. So I start talking to the banks. I come up with a formula. The banks have all these various formulas, and they make it difficult, even though at that time the government was supplying the banks with seven, listen to this, $7 trillion worth of capital. In other words, they were backstopping them. I don't know that they were backstopping anyone else that I know about, because these homeowners were barely able to keep their homes. No one was backstopping them. So what we needed to do was come up with a formula that the bank would accept for them to save their homes. And usually it meant reducing their payments and taking all their back payments and putting it on the end. This became a kind of complicated because you couldn't do it for everyone. You had to meet certain criteria regarding income. I don't want to get too boring with that, but yes. Not everyone was able to get the criteria, but if I took a person, I made sure that that it worked for them. And I'm very proud of that. We didn't take anyone, but those that we took were accomplished. Back to my near-death experience. So I go through this period of time, and I think I'm getting better. And I met my wife, who was my wife right now. I had previously been divorced. And we take a trip to New Mexico. And I still had something in my wound that wasn't healing. And in that wound, somehow on our hike, and we went into a hot tub experience, and I came out and I started to feel very weak. And my wife goes, "Stop kidding. You just don't want to pick up the luggage." I go, "Oh, I can't. I couldn't pick up a carry-on bag to get on the plane. We were in New Mexico." So she noticed that that was the truth when I actually couldn't hold my urine and I started to lose all control. When we landed, she rushed me to Cedars Hospital in Los Angeles. And the doctors there said I was going into toxic shock. Toxic shock is where you just lose, you just, your body starts shutting down. And my body was shutting down. And I laid there, and it was actually a very peaceful feeling. There was no pain around it. But I was dying. And they said the infections in your bone and your leg, and eventually they put me in nice, intensive care, and they wanted to cut off my leg to save my body. And I was kind of attached to my leg, and I didn't want to do that. And I want to say there was a miraculous doctor there who was able to, after 13 days, give me enough antibiotics to stem what was immersed in my bone, which was infection in my bones. And yeah, that helped me to live. So I'm just looking at the time. I think it's time for a quick break. And then I'll introduce someone who knows a lot about what we do. So let's take that quick break. Okay, I'd like to introduce Nicole, straight from London. Oh, there you are.
Hi.
Are you still in London?
No, not anymore. I'm in
Wow.
sunny California. I can tell you the weather in London is not as nice as it is here. So this time
I'm looking out the window and it's freezing here. What happened?
it is
Let me
cold, but
tell.
we're a little spoiled, I have to say. I have family on the East Coast and they are freezing. So I don't think in comparison we can say we're quite the frozen state that we're.
I mean, it's important you bring that out because everything's comparable. Like, I don't know if you heard the first segment. When I could finally walk and make a cup of coffee, that was the comparison of not being able to move. So that gave me great pleasure. So I suppose having 60-degree weather here instead of 40 degrees is definitely better. And I heard it's going to 80 this weekend, so
I hope so. And we
I
need,
don't know. I hope so. We
but
have crazy weather.
your story, Alan, is very unique to. On so many levels, and thank you for sharing that. It's an important story to the story of financial sanity, how financial sanity came about. Your per it's a personal journey that brought you here, and I think also, correct me if I'm wrong, because of what you went through, you personally had to, deal with your own financial instability and challenges because you weren't working for 2 years. You were in a wheelchair and then you ended up in hospital again, almost lost your leg. And so you had to save your own homes. You had a lot of debt. You had family to support. And I think this is the message that financial sanity kind of makes is it's a personal story that you relate to your clients on a very visceral level. It's not just a numbers game at Financial Sanity. We are very much personally invested. A lot of times, as you know, we spend a lot of times on the phone speaking to clients first, almost as counselors and therapists. We have
Yes.
to hear out how they got to where they got without judgment. And we've all been there. It's a very much a human industry that what we do rather than just a financial service. And there's a lot of fear that comes with finances and being in debt and finding yourself in a situation you never intended to be in. And circumstances happen, life happens. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that too. Right now, for other reasons, there's a lot of fear, or there has been during the last four or 5 years, and still people are a little bit uneasy. And I
Yes.
want to talk about that, the economy and this fear that people are still feeling and insecurity, the inflation versus the interest rates. How does this correlate to for people today and people who are in debt? Or have different loans.
So what's happened over time is the people that come to us used to be people, I would say, 55 plus. Except we'll talk about student loans later. Those are people younger than, in 20s. Now we have people between 30 and 50. And the reason that's important is that these people are formulating their families. They're the ones who are trying to buy a home or renting a home, or they have to support a family. And so inflation is hitting them worse than anyone else. It doesn't hit the elite. And I think people who are poor probably don't feel it as much because I think they feel it, but don't get me wrong, but they're living a subsist, sub level. So it's not that big an effect. Don't get me wrong, there probably is, but the middle class is the one that gets hit, and that's the people that are coming to us. people who have families, people who have gotten divorced during this time over financial problems. And the inflation has hit them, so they are using their credit cards now more than ever. They're using them for groceries, they're using them certainly for travel and hoping things get better, they can pay it later. But what's happening is they're building up credit debt, and that debt is at 22 to 29%. No one can pay off that kind of debt. When you get 29%, that means every 3 years your debt is doubling. I mean, it's pretty insane when you think about it, but I don't know if I've diverged too much from answering your question. The economy right now is teetering. That's my opinion, anyway. I was hoping it would get better. I don't want to get political. I was hoping it would get better. I think what just happened in the last day is not making it better. There are economists who would disagree with me. I have studied a lot of things about the economy and have some credentials there, but I hope I'm wrong. But right now, what is happening is prices are going up, and they're still going up. Now, not egg prices. Egg prices came down, and gas prices came down. So, I mean, there's some, you know.
Also, home the interest rates for low home mortgages will come down too, from my understanding. They've already come down a little bit.
They're at 6.67, but that's if people can afford it. So what happens is affordability becomes a problem. Let's say I want to buy a home, and it's, by the way, when I bought my home that I live in now, 20 years ago, I was around 6.8. But the price of the home wasn't much, much, much less. The prices of homes now are so much more. So when you, combine it. And the other thing is the affordability. So if someone is sitting there on credit card debt out there in the universe, there's a ratio. I think you're familiar with it, Nicole. You've worked on these problems. And the maximum ratio is 45%. So if your debts cannot equal, and that includes your new mortgage you're trying to get, your taxes, personal, your real estate tax, your insurance, then all your credit card debt. If that adds up to more than 45%, you will not get a loan. And that's just the rule. It's hard, just, it's, you know, can't break the rule. On the other hand, if someone comes to us in that position and we can reduce their debt load, which means their monthly payments by reducing their interest rate or their debt load, they might be able to qualify for that house. But I would counsel that person, because it's not just that we settle debts. I would counsel them is, like, I have two daughters that want to buy homes. One just bought it. I think she's over her head in payment. She wanted the house so badly. This Helena, I think you know her. It's a sweet person. She has three children. But I mean, her payment is $5,000. The house. That doesn't include, she managed to figure it out, but who can afford $5,000 for a payment for the house? Seriously, it's a lot. I'm not even sure if that includes all her tax and insurance. Did I diverse too much? Did I digress?
No. I think you're on point. I think if we take a, maybe we have to have another break. Maybe when we come back, we can talk about how some people, some practical financial tips we can give people, basic stuff that can help with their maybe budgeting and prioritizing repayments and things like that, and how beyond that, how financial sanity could help them.
Think we should. So, okay, well, that was a good break. And I want to come back and tell. I'm still kind of hung up on my story, so if you don't mind.
No, it's important. I think
One.
it's very relevant. Your story, like I say, you already came from a financial background from Wall Street. You're a native New Yorker, if people can't tell by your accent a little bit. You worked at the big blue chip companies, and so when you got into this situation, you personally were losing everything because of your circumstances. And as a result of your already financial background and your experience, you were able to help so many people modify their mortgages and save their homes. You kept roofs. You literally stopped people from becoming homeless and bankrupt.
Yes, thankfully.
Yeah.
During that time, I remember Chase Bank sent me, I was on my back, and they sent me a credit card. And I looked at it, and it had a $30,000 credit limit. It was very high, and I wasn't working. And I went, oh my goodness, that is terrific. I used all $30,000 because I needed to. So now I have to modify my house, and I also have to deal with credit card debt when this is all getting better, which is one of the places that I think a lot what drew us from one situation to the next, okay, from homes to credit card debt. But something that's been on my mind, when I talked about that coffee, just being happy to make a cup of coffee, it really was amazing. I mean, like, it's hard to ask people to do things for you all the time. Bring me this, or bring, it's difficult. But I remember as a kid, my job was taking out the trash. I think every kid had a job. Some was setting the table or cleaning the table. My job was taking out the trash. And I looked at it as a burden, and why am I taking out the trash? Why not my brother or whatever? Anyway, that was my job. And I want to say to people that take out the trash, be thankful.
Yes.
I love taking out the trash now.
It's a privilege.
Privilege, because I have trash.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you have trash, I mean, we fill two full things every week. It is a it's a privilege to be able to have trash, and so whenever I take out the trash now, I mean, to me, that's just a lesson. When you take out the trash, be happy. That's a happy thing to do.
It means you have food. It means you have legs you can walk with, which was
Right. It
ideal for
means
you.
you probably had gifts or
You have
boxes
gifts.
or
Yes,
all.
you're able to feed yourself. It's very symbolic of, one man's trash is another man's, treasure.
Well,
Maybe
that's
not.
no, but that's really.
What we have today. What we complain about, what we take for granted today, people think for them it would be wonderful to have half of what we have. Even if we feel it's what we have is nothing, we don't live like the 1%. We are the middle class. We work very hard. We pay our taxes. But it's about being in a place of gratitude, I think, is what you're saying, and I think that's very important. And
I think that's what I was saying.
yeah.
It's to have gratitude for even for everything, but definitely for the things we complain about. So I say to everyone who's listening, if you're complaining, you're entitled to complain, but just think about it, be happy about the complaint. Actually, let's just write that down. So to go back, I when I finally got better, or was getting better, I look back on the fact that I twice I almost died. And yeah, but for the grace of God, go I, is that the saying? Something like that.
Something like that, yes.
And yeah, I became, I don't want to say a believer, but because I had been a believer, but truly, there must be a purpose for my still being here. And so, as you know, Nicole, we are not just here to make money. We're here to help people. And if we're not helping people, then it
Right.
doesn't matter
Yeah.
to us. And that's the whole part of financial sanity. Let's help as many people as we can. I would like to talk a little bit about the industry. And I think you're aware of the amount of people who say they could help people. And if you don't mind, maybe talk about Emily. We won't give her last name out, but a very difficult situation she found herself in. You know, with national debt relief.
Yes,
Yeah.
we've had a few of those actually. Funnily enough, it seems to be a trend. Emily, she went to one of these big companies. It was National Debt Relief. I'm not too sure whether we can
It
say
actually
that
was,
now.
but we're
Yeah,
not
but
saying
there's a lot of companies. I call them the 1-800 get out of debt.com companies, because they all seem to be advertising in the same way. They make big promises and they deliver pretty much on none of it. And the problem with those is they are a complete scam from experience with clients. And what happens is clients will go to those companies. They're in a big hole. They have a lot of debt. The companies will say, okay, you pay us over a period of like 1 or 2 years, you pay us in installments. This goes into some kind of a savings account, an escrow. They say that this money that you're putting into there will go towards paying down the debts that we will negotiate for you. And also, it will cover some of that will cover our fees, whatever their fees are. The problem is, they never negotiate those debts.
I've
What they
noticed.
do is they'll be collecting, $200 here, $200 there monthly. They pocket a lot of that money and they have a lots and lots of hidden fees. If you read their contracts, which we do a lot of contract negotiations on behalf of clients too, FYI. It's a trap. It's full of monthly other miscellaneous fees that add up. And so what's happened is case study with Emily is that she ended up not just in more debt that she started with, but they had not negotiated not one of her accounts. They left it a year she'd been with them. She comes to us after a year, maybe a year and a half on some of them. And we then have to call the creditors. The creditors have passed on the account to third-party debt collection services and attorneys who are debt collection attorneys. And we find out, come to find out, that they hadn't even negotiated any of the debts. They'd sat on the debts. What happens is when you sit on a debt, of course it's going to go to a debt collector. And then it affects your credit and whatnot. And so it doesn't have to be that way. They could have kept their promise and negotiated the debt within maximum 2 or 3 months. They could have settled the debts
Yeah.
very easily. Why they took so long, I will tell you why. Because they will spend that time collecting their fees that goes into their pockets, and none of it, they don't do diddly squat for the client. And the client is not only in more debt and out of pocket than they were before, they've essentially paid another company for them to go to a debt collector's. Well, if they were going to just not pay their debt, they could have just gone to a debt collector's by themselves. They don't need somebody else to help them with that and take money from them in the first place. It's a complete scam, and it Alan, it boils my blood every time this happens. And I feel so bad for people out there who fall for these big advertising campaigns. And because some of these companies, like the one mentioned, are big, they have a huge marketing department, they have big money behind them, big budget. People think they're legit. And I really don't know how they get away with it, honestly. They have attorneys in-house who help them with loopholes of how to get away with it. And Emily is just one case study. We've had several of people who've gone to these so-called companies who make these promises, and it's a shame. So they're also legally now obligated to pay this debt. I mean, they're legally obligated anyway because they're in a contract with the creditor, but now they're in a hole where, they can have a lien put on their property. They could be sued. We've read judgments against them and summons against them. And we're having to deal with the courts a lot of times for these clients. So it's a big problem, but we do clean it up eventually. And the funny thing is, Alan, I know you want to say something, but I just want to
Well, you
emphasize,
don't. That's not it. You're doing
isn't it
great.
funny that when they come to us, as soon as we pick up the debt and we're speaking to the attorneys or the debt collection company, we settle the debt in like no time. Why did it take 1-800-GetOutOfDebt.com company a year and a half to do this? It didn't have to. And we prove that it can be done in no time. It doesn't need to take that long. The client doesn't need to their credit to be ruined and have debt collectors on their credit, and then be handed summons and judgments and, be served a lot of times. They're going home, they're walking into their house, opening the door, and somebody's standing there with an envelope and they're serving them. It really upsets me. And they don't care. They're heartless. They're wolves. They really don't care. They destroy people's lives. They really do.
They do. And yes, I do want to say something. I've read their contracts and they're 3 pages long.
Yeah.
Two-sided, I'm sorry. So 6 pages. And you look at these contracts and they protect themselves all kinds of ways. But what they don't do is tell the people what's really going to happen.
Right.
Emily had no chance. They kept telling her, just give us $1,000 a month and we'll settle these out. It was 70,000 in debt. There was no way $1,000 a month was going to work. Had they been honest with her and said, "Look, here's what you need to settle." Now, with them, I know you know this. It's lucky if they settled 20% less than the debt, right?
Yeah.
If you took 70, they might save you 14,000. We pay 30% of the debt. So we save you 70%. And I'm not just saying this like, oh, yeah, we're a show, so we're going to say this. We do it. We do it. We can prove it. But we're not even saying that's the best thing to do for everyone. For some people, it is.
Right.
The way national debt relief works, I guess I'm saying their name again. If they want to come after me, well, you guys are not doing it right. And I will tell people out there, Do not go with these companies. Don't. You're going to wind up in more debt than before. They'll take your money and you won't settle the debt. So, you can call us. We can talk to you about your debt. I don't know if this is running at the bottom or anything, but our number is 310-384-4352. And the name of the company is financialsanitynow.com. I need a quick break. We were talking about a lot of things here. So I'm going to get back to what I think we were talking about, which was the way people are treated in our industry. And you brought up a case study. That person we're working on now has three lawsuits against her, had nothing settled, and spent, I think, 10 or 12 or $13,000. Then I want to talk to
She spent
people
ten
about
or $13,000 for a lawsuit.
nothing. Yeah. And if you look at their contract, here's how crazy it is. They say if any of this winds up in a lawsuit, we're not responsible. Now, I don't think that's true, but who's going to go sue them? It costs
Yeah,
money to go back and sue
that's
these
right.
people. We're doing our best to help her out. I mean, I know you've settled out some things already. And we know how to do that so people don't lose their shirt along with everything else that they have. There's a thing about settlements I want everyone to understand. First of all, if a settlement takes longer than 5 months, it's going to go to an attorney. That's the way the banks work. So 5 months, they're right on the verge of going to collection or attorney. That's when you can get the best deal. And we know that. We don't want to let it go over the cliff. Second thing about settlements, if you settle a debt, it's possible you're going to get a tax consequence. Some people don't care. Some people, it's worth it. If they have 100,000 in debt and they can settle it for 30, they'll take the tax consequence. It's a lot better than paying off the debt. Third thing you need to understand is it will damage your credit. Not like a bankruptcy, but it will damage it. So for the next 2 years, don't look to go buy a home or a new Mercedes or, make sure you have your car and you're okay. So settlements are for some people, and we're happy to let people know all the alternatives.
Right.
That's just one alternative.
Yeah, it's never one size fits all. It
No.
really is. And just so folks know, our consultations are free.
They
So
are.
just want to people call us. They want to discuss their options and really get some feedback on what the best
What
game
does feel
plan is
better?
for them. We can do that, and it's no pressure. It's think about it, but it's not one size fits all sometimes. And the thing about settlements is that you need to have that cash on hand when we do the settlements.
Right. Don't.
It's chunks
Yes.
of money that you have to fork out to settle it.
Yes.
And the alternative, did you want to mention the alternative?
I do want to get into the alternative in a sure. Like, let's give
Just
people, but I
briefly.
do want to mention our number since you said they can call us and you can just call us for advice.
Right.
We know a lot about all kinds of things financial. And we're not going to tell you what stocks to buy. We're not going to tell you what taxes to pay. But there's a lot of areas that we're familiar with. And you want to feel better about things, give us a call. The number is 310-384-4352. It's a little tricky, that number. You want to say it in English, Nicole?
310-384-4352.
It sounds better in King's English.
Yes.
Everything does. And our website is, you can just type in financialsanitynow.com. Now, the important word is now. And you'll see a lot of things we're saying. Now, Nicole, you were saying there's another way to deal with that.
We
You
can, yes, we can, we
besides
can.
just settling it. So
Not just
say
settle.
someone has 30,000 in debt.
Yep,
There.
if they have 30,000 in debt and they can't get ahead of it because of the high interest rates,
So they have
we'll
it.
negotiate to reduce the interest rate. We have a great track record of reducing it down to 0%. We've never been higher than 4%. And some creditors are better than others. We know that our favorites, don't we? But we have an excellent track record. And the reason why we can do it, so I often get asked, well, why don't I just pick up the phone, the consumer, and do it themselves? We know the back end programs, the back office programs that the banks have that they don't publicize. If they publicize them, then everybody would be out of debt. So we know how to sort of negotiate that and call their bluff and speak to the right people in the right departments. That's how we get those numbers down. And so the benefits of the interest rate reduction is it helps people with cash flow issues. They don't have big chunks of money to put down for a settlement. They'd rather pay smaller amounts but pay the entire debt down, so
Yes.
they don't pay the interest. And it's over a 5-year plan, and this is an action plan that they have. They know 5 years, which goes in a blink of an eye, they'll be out of debt. And the other beauty of this is that it doesn't affect your credit the same as settlement, and that's a huge plus for some people.
So I just took my little calculator here, and if anyone can see it, maybe you can't. Oh, there it is. $5,000 is the amount of money you pay every year to carry $20,000 balance. $5,000. Now, but that means a lot to me. $5,000, I can at least take my family on a reasonable vacation, maybe not too, very expensive, but a good one. But that money's thrown away. So if you have $20,000 in debt, what's the best thing to do? Let's bring it down to zero. We can get you payments as low as, just doing this quickly for everyone. Six.
What's the debt?
It's about $330 a month you'll
All
pay.
right, $20,000 debt. Yeah.
$330 a month, and that'll get you out of debt. And that's a lot less than I'm sure you're paying. That you're probably paying, you're actually paying more than that just in interest. Cost 330 times, that's 33. That's less than your interest payment.
And the problem with those interest rates is that every year the debt gets bigger and bigger. The interest rates mean a lot more.
Yeah, and people, they don't tell you that.
And what people
They
don't,
tell, they
they're not
charge.
even aware. Yeah.
That's a really good point. They're charging you interest on interest.
Yes.
So now you have an extra 500 on your credit card. Now you're paying 29% on the interest. People don't look into that. Thank you for bringing that up. They don't look at that. That's why you can never get out of debt. When you're 29% interest, if you have 30,000, that's 7,000. Now I'm paying 30% on 7,000 too. Is that correct? That's another 2,000. That's insane. That's why the banks owned all the buildings.
That's
I'm
right.
not an
That's how they get you.
anti-capitalist. It's okay you would own buildings, but we're just here to help the consumer get back to where they need to go. And that is to put this under control so they can, we'll talk about this in later times. How to budget things out, how to have a better life once your debt is under control. But that's an important part of what we do. And it's not all we do. And I would just like to bring up a few other things. So we deal with that. There's no doubt. I mean, that's a big part of what we do. But we also deal with you as a person. And there's certain things I'd like to talk about really quickly. I know we only have 5 minutes left, but I'd like to leave you with, and I don't know what your thought is about Nicole about this, leave you with a couple of ideas about how to stay more in touch with your success part of life and where to go with that. So, I don't know how many have read this. There's seven laws of prosperity. I won't go into all of them, but they're real. They're real. Why are some people more prosperous than others? There's been books written about this. One of the major reasons is that people give up on what they're doing. They feel overwhelmed, whether it's in debt, whether it's something they're working on. And they give up. I mean, do you know that Henry Ford went bankrupt six times before he invented the Model T? Edison failed over and over and over again before he could get the incandescent light to work properly. The one thing is persistence. If you have an idea, whether it's getting out of debt, building a business, any of these things, you have to be persistent in it. Realize there will be failures along the way. And there's a statement, I don't think I made this up, but it's a true statement. Every failure is just a step towards success. And I firmly believe that because I have failed. I failed when I had my accident. I was in dire straits. Was I going to give up? I will tell you, I almost did give up on everything, including myself. And, we'll get into that another time. But was going to say they offered me a lot of these antidepressants, and I refused them because not that I'm a hero, but that you have to internally realize that it's your decision not to give up. You want to give up? Okay, go give up. But if you want anything in this life, be persistent. It is the number one rule. More than intellect, more than education, is persistence. That's how you get where you're going to go. So that is, it's usually an important one. The another one, and this is going to sound antithetical is that you should give. You have to give of yourself. You should give to people who have less than you. And there are many people who are listening now who know people have less, even if it's a dollar. Even if you see a vendor on the street selling flowers and you know that's all they can do with their life, buy the flowers. You know, do something for others. And it'll come back to you. I don't want to tell you that's the reason for doing it. But it's important to give. You know what I mean, in the Bible, whichever Bible you want to read, it's called tithing. You're supposed to give 10% of your income to the whatever it is, you know, church, synagogue, etc. But I'm not telling you to do that. Because everyone will 10% of what after tax, before tax, gross, I don't know anymore. I'm just saying, feel comfortable, but give something. Even if it's a little bit, if you're feeling terrible about yourself, you watch, give something. Go to, I give to Shriners Hospital. Not that I'm a hero, it's just that I can't stand the fact that there are little kids who can't walk. I can't stand it. I mean, it's horrible. I've had five children of my own. Thank God they're all healthy. But I can't even imagine the pain that those people go through. So that's something you can give to. It's only $22 a month. And I'm not advertising for them. But it's another law of prosperity. I'll use those too for now. Don't give up upon yourself, give it upon your family. And give something of yourself. Give more than you're paid for. And I know the owners of this radio station, by the way. They're good people and they give of themselves. That's why they run the station the way it is.
I think
So,
that's I think we're running out of time.
are we?
Yeah, that was a we can talk about this on the next show again. I think it's an important subject. But yeah, that's
So just really, real quickly, if you have any questions, give us a call, 310-384-4352. Go to our website. There's a lot of information there, a lot of Google reviews, and it's financialsanitynow.com. Okay. All right. Thank you for listening.
yeah, just call us. We can talk. Tell us about your story. We'll see if we can help you and see if it's the right fit.
You probably won't.
310-384-4352.
You probably
Thank you
won't
very
talk to
much.
Nicole rather than me, but that's okay. Either one. Okay, thank you again.
Thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.